I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 33. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 33. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 33 reads this way. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people to hear from you. And Lord, we ask you for the blessing and the promise that you've given of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds to hear from you and to worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that we might be blessed and you might be glorified. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness." Be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness, or simply put, under a bushel, under a bushel. Let me ask you this. When Jesus is speaking right here to his disciples and to all who will hear, does the Lord have something of importance to say to you and I? This morning, does God have something to say to you and I? Yes, he does. And so we need to be careful and mindful that, "Lord, I want to hear what you have to say," because the Lord said a lot of people hear what was being said but don't understand and don't hear what he was trying to communicate. And for various different reasons, sometimes the cares of this world are overwhelming. Sometimes we have problems that we're dealing with or things that we're looking forward to that distract us from hearing the truth. And here's the importance. The truth is what sets you and I free. The understanding that God brings, listen, to our understanding is salvation to us, not only for eternal life, but salvation in everyday life. We only have to be saved once for eternity. That's when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need the salvation of God working in our lives that we might enjoy the salvation that we possess. Not only that, but that we might be the light that the world needs to see, and that is the love of God and the hope of Christ, the hope that dwells within us, and the glory of God that God wants to reveal in and through us. So with that said, the main concern here that Jesus wanted to take note of was the light that governs our life, and we'll see that here in just a moment. There's only one source of true light. There's no other source, and that's the Word of God. There's a lot of wannabes that think that they are having some wisdom or something that they'd like to profess or proclaim to help people out. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no truth. There is no light. Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no other way. Now, that might offend some people, but here's the blessed truth is that there's no other faith, no other religion in earth or in heaven, amen, that says the work has been done for us. Every other religion says, gives you a laundry list of what you have to do and what you don't have to do. But God says, "I will do it for you and have done it for you," because we don't have the righteousness in ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves, because the Bible teaches us an important truth that our righteousness, even after salvation, are as filthy rags. It's been marred because of sin. So listen, the only way that it can be cleansed is if we have no more sin. Now, we've been cleansed from our sin, but we still commit sins, don't we? Now, God doesn't want us to walk in those things, but he wants us to understand some important truths that will give us his victory, that bring us his deliverance into our lives, and take a load off of our back that we don't have to try to do. Now, does God want to accomplish something in the life of every believer? Absolutely. God wants to do a work. But again, I want to remind you, it's his work.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible for a believer who's been filled with the light of God and dwelt by the Holy Spirit to walk or live in darkness? It is possible. And I will tell you this. They would be one of the most miserable believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be the saddest examples of the grace of God. Because there will be no grace. They have the potential of walking in the grace of God, but it won't be visible. It won't be visible. I want to remind you about David, a man after God's own heart, walked in darkness, didn't he? When he sinned with Bathsheba and he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, put into the front of the battle. Did he think he was doing a good thing or a right thing? Yes, he did. Or he wouldn't have done it. Listen, the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes, not wrong. Not wrong. David must have come to this conclusion. I am the king. I deserve Bathsheba. Listen, he brought Uriah home. He brought Uriah back from the battle, expecting, because now Bathsheba's with a child. His. And listen what he was doing. He thought Uriah would go in unto his wife. And you know what his plan was? It's your son. It's your child. Oh, but that wasn't the truth, was it? So was David walking in the light of God's truth or in darkness? Oh, it gets worse than that. Then he goes ahead and he gets him a whole bunch of food, the king's food, the king's wine. Gets him inebriated. And he didn't understand the heart of Uriah. And Uriah didn't go into his house. He slept out on the front porch. And Uriah had no idea what was coming. But see, Uriah was moved by the Spirit of God and made sure that everybody knew. And he wasn't even doing it for a show. He did it because, you know what? The people of God were at war where the king should have been. And so he was concerned that he would take in the lap of luxury while the people of God, the army of God, was out at war. And he said, that's the reason why he did it. But God had a different reason why he put it on his heart not to go in unto his wife, because he was also dealing with David, a man who was a man after his own heart and who later became again a man after his own heart. But it was by the grace and mercy of God. And by the way, it's the same for you and I. It is the grace and mercy of God that gives us a heart for the Lord. It's not something that we do. It's something that we ask God to do in and through us. So I want to ask you a couple of questions, and these are going to be our points. What do people see in us today as believers? Let me throw this question out. This is a bonus question. You don't have to answer this one. But do you think the people of God today are thriving spiritually? Do you think the people of God are truly the light that God would have us to be today in this nation, in this church? Are we really experiencing the grace of God? And here's the good news. If we're not, he wants us to. And the potential is there, because it's the potential is not in what we do. All the potential we have is in what God has already done. Amen. And it's finished, so we can have it. And then secondly, what does Jesus want us to take heed of? And we'll look at that in verse 35. But back up with me, and we'll see some living examples here at the end here. But I want you to see, what do people see in us? Look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, and if you're saved, there's a candle that's been lit, an eternal light, putteth it in a secret place. There are no Christians incognito. There are no undercover Christians. God wants us all to be out in the open. God wants his grace to be out in the open. And by the way, what does it mean? What does it mean to be the light of the world for a believer? What does God want the world to see? Well, the very first thing that God wants the world to see in you and I, and let me back us up here, the very first thing that God wants your family to see, because that's the first institution. If we are something to the world that we're not to our family, we are hypocrites. And there's a problem there. God does not want us to be hypocritical. We, in our own sinfulness, have the potential of being hypocritical, but God wants us to be, first of all, a blessing. You may have never understood or heard this, but before you can be a blessing to your church, God wants you to be a blessing to your family. That's the first institution. That's Bible. That's Bible. The first place we need to be, what God wants us to be by His grace, is in the home. And what is the first thing that God is? Love. Unconditional love. If we have the love of God, we will have the patience, the long-suffering, the kindness, the gentleness. We as believers, I think we need help in that area, don't you? We need help. If we don't see that we need help, guess what? We won't ask for it. And so God wants us to be kind and gentle 50% of the time. That's a question. 50%? Oh, 75. No? 80? Oh, 99.99? Like the gas stations do for us? No, 100%. God wants 100%. All right, so what do people see in us? Verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And that's the light of God. So God wants the light of his glory in your life and in mine. Verse 34, the light of the body is the eye, It's what we see with, right? It's our mind's eye. It's what we think about. Because what we think about, listen, you've heard this and it's true. We may not be what we think we are, but we are becoming what we think. We may not be what we think we are, but we are becoming what we think, what we spend our time meditating on. So let me ask you this question between you and the Lord. What are we thinking about in our life? When nobody else is around, that's who we really are. When all time is to ourselves, that's who we really are. And that ought to be pure by the grace of God, not by our effort. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do better. That's not what he wants us to do. He did not die in your place and mine to help us be better. He died to give us his life in us. Amen? So, Lord, forgive me. I want your life in me. I want your grace, your love, not mine. My love is selfish. Did you know that? My love is selfish. If it's all about my love, it'll be about me and mine, and it will be for you too. But the love of God is not, it's not partial. It's to everybody. Did God die for the whole world? Did God die for the person you may be upset with? Did God die? Here's another one, ready? Sometimes it bothers us when people are upset with us and we don't even know why. You ever been there? Don't have to confess that one. And yet God says he died for them too. We ought to love them as well. So what do people see in our lives? So he says this, verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is singly focused, the whole body is full of light, and that focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, when thine eye is evil, so our eye how we see things has the potential of being corrupted or being evil. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of what? Darkness. It's full of darkness. So God is saying, listen, we can either have light or we can be walking in darkness. And God says you have the potential by the grace of God to walk in the light. And listen, if we're not careful, we will justify ourselves just as David did in sending Uriah out to be killed. Here's what he told the military. He sent a note. Imagine if this happened to you. Uriah, this is a sealed note, letter by the king. You think Uriah is going to break that seal? Not for a minute. Not for a minute. He would not go into his house because the ark of God was out in the midst of battle. And so here's a sealed note to be given to the captains up in the front lines. And he's carrying this note that said, put Uriah up out in the heat of the battle and tell everybody to back away so he can die alone. And that's exactly what they did. And here's what David said. Well, who can tell what will happen in battle when he planned it all? Was he walking in darkness? The devil himself couldn't have planned it any better. The man that was after God's own heart, that ought to put fear throughout our bodies. Because you and I have the very same potential of doing it. I want to remind you that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. and spoke and was used by God as a young man in a mighty way, and later on in life as well, because of the mercy of God. So notice this here. He says this in verse 35, and here's our text. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take heed that what you think is light is not darkness. Because every man did that which was right, the Bible says in the book of Judges, in his own eyes. And that's where they came into that cycle. God sent them a deliverer. They started doing right because of the deliverer. Then they began to do things in their own way, by their own selves, and were walking in darkness, and were sinning against God, and they thought they were doing right. Is it possible today for a child of God to think in his own mind that they're walking upright when they're walking contrary to the way of the Lord? Absolutely. Listen, does our world today, does Columbia, Missouri this morning, and every city in the United States need the light of God? Do they need, let me try that again. Does Columbia, Missouri, and every city in the United States need the light of God? Okay. That's the only place that peace will come from. Is that not true? Where do you suppose God wants to illuminate that light? Where might he do it? Where is his will to do it? That's so true. Through us. Through us. That's just for correction's sake here, or just to make sure we're not walking in the wrong way. God is not wanting us to try harder or to do better. God is wanting us to call on him to do it all. In and through us. That's the truth. You'll find that in the Word of God, all throughout the Word of God. And the reason why we fail, or the reason why we will possibly fail is this, because we're not looking to him, we're looking to ourselves. God will not share his glory, not even with us, his children. He will give us his glory to glorify him. So we say, I'm either going to be this impressive example of Christianity. Did you hear that? We're either going to say, I'm going to be, you see the problem with the personal pronoun there, right? I am going to be an impressive example of what a Christian ought to be. And so when I do that in my effort, when I fool you in that, right? Smile and, oh brother, oh sister, then go home and kick the dog and yell at everybody. When I do that, who am I going to praise? Oh, I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, what a good, look at me. No, and what does God see? Oh, boy. Missed it again. But if I stop and say, God, not me, but you in me. And when I see the mercy of God going to who first? My family. Your family. When you see the love of God to your family first, then it's easy to go to the church. And it just keeps flowing to the world. And when we see that taking place, what do we do? What do we say? Oh, God, only you. Only you could do that. Listen, when David made a mess of his life, and Nathan came up to him and pointed the finger, thou art the man. What did he see? David, the mercy of God. Remember what Nathan said? He already thought it. Nathan said, thou shalt not die. That was the mercy of God. He should have died. But listen, you and I should have died too. But the mercy of God was merciful. The love of God was still pure and still is today. And here's the crazy thing, ready? He wants to give that to you and I to glorify him and to be a blessing to us, to our family, our church family, and that the world might see something that they want. That they want. So he says, verse 35, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. What we think we're walking by that's so good. Listen, I'm telling you, David was convinced what he was doing in killing Uriah was the right thing to do. And it was never more wrong that he could have done. Now, he's speaking to his disciples are there, but I want you to see there's some other people there, and he gives us some examples. I want you to see how corrupt humanity is. I want you to see how corrupt and how sinful in this world is with God right there in the very midst of it. Amongst those who profess to know God. Look at verse 36 with me. Notice what it says here. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So here he is, he's giving this example. He's just said, when it's pure, when it's right, the world's going to see the truth. And the truth, not us, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, he will draw. He said, if I be lifted up, not if we lift ourselves up, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So he just finished speaking this truth here, verse 37. And as he spake, he's speaking, a certain Pharisee, that's a religious ruler, knowing the word of God, besought him to dine with him, and he went and sat down to meet. Do you think this man knew who the Lord was? No, the Lord was drawing crowds. In spite of the true religion of the day, the Lord was drawing crowds, and so it drew them. And he thinks he's going to do something that's going to gain him some kind of recognition. Come on, Lord, I see you got this crowd. I'm inviting you for dinner. Does the Lord know the heart of this Pharisee as he knows our heart? And he still went. Why? Because that's the love of God. And that's the mercy of God, that he might see the truth and that we might see the truth. So he goes in and he sits down with him. Look what the Pharisee sees is all important. And he missed the love of God. Look at verse 38. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. That was all important to that Pharisee. Oh, he's so pure. He's so right because he did that. No, listen, you know what he revealed? Listen, that this Pharisee was more concerned about a man-made rule than the word of God, than the truth of God. Listen, if we're not careful, we make up our own rules and we'll start judging other people by what we think instead of by what the word of God says. And that will drive us further away from the Lord than anything else that could, that can. So notice this. So he doesn't wash before dinner. Verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside. He knew. So he's telling them, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. He's telling them. He says, you've got this hypocrisy face on. The heart is so desperately wicked, you don't even know it. You've consulted yourself that if people will do what I say and not what I do. You ever run across, do what I say, but not what I do. That's hypocrisy to the highest. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your breath. You're not helping anybody out to give them that kind of garbage. It would be better to be quiet before the Lord and say, oh God, that my life would be consistent through and through, that your grace would be in me, and that I don't have a show going on. Because nobody's buying it. Especially God, by the way. So he says, verse 40, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Listen, give alms, give of yourself. Listen, when you're giving, you're revealing love. When you give of yourself, isn't that the truth? If you do something, sometimes it costs us to give. Sometimes it could even inconvenience us to give, can it not? But so then why do we do it? Love. Because we love somebody. Because we care about them enough to do it. Because we don't really have to do anything, do we? If we don't want to. You ever said that to yourself? Thought that to yourself? I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm not doing it. That's our heart. And so here's this Pharisee before the Lord. And he says in verse 41, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe, listen what they do, mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over, listen, judgment and what? Oh, the love of God. Imagine that. Is the love of God important to the Lord? It sent us His Son. Is the love of God important to God to be in us as His children? Absolutely. So notice this. These ought you have to have done and not to leave the other undone. He wasn't saying that what they were talking about as far as other things in the law, but the love of God is the judgment and the love of God are preeminent. If the judgment and the love of God are absent, all else is failure. Woe unto you, Pharisees, verse 43, for ye love the uppermost seat in the synagogues and greetings in the market. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as men that walk over them, are not aware of them. In other words, you're trampling down the most important thing, and you don't even see it. Just like David didn't see that what he was doing was wrong at that moment. And then lastly, I want you to take notice of this other example that we have right here in verse 45. It says, then answered one of the lawyers. Are you getting this? The Lord was speaking. A Pharisee invites him to eat. And a Pharisee looks at him, doesn't even say anything. He says, well, he didn't even wash his hands. And then the Lord begins to speak about revealing what was in his heart. And then while he's speaking to the Pharisee, a scribe was there. He talks to the scribe. And so while he's dealing with the Pharisee and the scribe, now one of the lawyers of the law, of the word of God, chime up and answered and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. What you're saying is offensive to me. Oh my goodness. Doesn't that sound spiritual? I'm offended. Why? Because it's the truth. Because it's the truth. By the way, listen, the truth to those who reject it is offensive. Because here's what we're saying. Ready? We have fallen and we're sinful. Let me ask you this question. Here's how crazy we can get. Is there anybody on planet Earth that if you explained what sin is, that they couldn't tell you? What is sinful? A 5-year-old will tell you. Lying, cheating, hurting people. They'll tell you that. We've taught 4- and 5-year-olds. Oh, it's so quick. And then we ask them this question. Johnny or Susie, have you ever done that? Oh, no, little angel. No, I would never do that. Those other people, they do it, not me, right? And isn't it amazing that we don't even realize we can be guilty of thinking that very same way? And so he says, you're offensive to me. Verse 46. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers. You're in the same boat. Listen, our sins as mankind, humankind, have separated us. Our sins. God saw that. God saw our sin. And what did he do? His love toward you and I, while we were his enemies, because that's what we are as sinful man, he sent us his Son. Which one of us would send one of our children in the behalf of one of our friends if they were in jail for their freedom? Which one of us would send one of our own children for a friend, let alone an enemy? God gave us his Son while we were his enemies. Tell me, show me a greater love than that. That a man didn't lay down his life for his friends. He laid his life down for his enemies. Tell me another faith. Tell me one that has displayed love like that. There is no other. Because it's the truth. God has come to give you and I his mercy, his grace, and his love and forgiveness. There is no other. And God says, you're a child. If you trust him, if you realize that your sins have separated you from him and you've trusted him as your personal Savior and you've experienced, and you will because God always substantiates his faith, you will see the hand of God in your heart and in your mind. You will understand that you have been redeemed and forgiven, and God continually confirms that, and that will never be taken. Just like we cannot change the fact that we've brought children into this world. No matter if they change their last name, you're still their parent. If they travel thousands of miles away, doesn't matter what they do. The fact is, you're their parent. And when God brings life and births a child of his, they're always his. And that's the grace and mercy of... Tell me another faith that does that. Tell me a faith that you don't have to worry about losing your relationship with your God. Every other religion tells you, oh, you do this and that's it. Off with your head. Isn't that the truth? Or you're no longer associated with us. You cross my line and you're done. God doesn't say that. God says, oh, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And because there's no lie in God, I have no worries. Tell me what other faith can make that kind of a promise. There's only one truth. And I don't parade that around. My heart grieves for those that have been deceived. Because I would want them to have what God has given to me, because it's nothing that I've merited on my own behalf. It's something that was given to me, as it was given to everyone that knows the Lord as Savior. So very quickly again, he says, verse 46, he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. You put rules on them, they can't even bear it. And ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. This is the truth. I promise you, listen, you name a faith that says these are the rules you're supposed to keep, the rulers of that religion are not keeping them. They don't even lift a little finger to do it. But boy, oh boy, if you don't do it, we'll just boot you right out. That's the truth. Verse 47, woe unto you, for you build the sepulchers of the prophets, and your fathers killed them of the truth. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, verse 49, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, and they are, and they did. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, the one that is killing them. Don't think I'm so foolish to believe that what I'm sharing with you today, there are people that wouldn't be riled up by it and be angry with me for it. But I want to remind you, what I'm sharing this morning is what set me free. And the reason why I share it is because it is the only truth. It is the truth that sets everybody free who'll have it. Who'll receive it. It's the way it is. So he says, verse 51, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily, or truly I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And by the way, every generation after it. Woe unto you lawyers, these are the ones that are supposed to, the law of the word of God they're supposed to know. For ye have taken away, listen, the key of knowledge, and entered not in yourselves. And them that were entering in, ye hindered. Those that were seeking the truth, you kept them from entering in. Verse 53, and as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to repent and say how sorry they were. No, they began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things. Notice why. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Did they do it? You know why? Because he's the truth. They can't do it. Listen, do you know why? Listen, do you know why? Because everyone that is caught up in this darkness will all stand before him one day, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single one of them, it will be too late then. And I hope that those who are still alive will have the opportunity, because I have loved ones that need to know the Lord as Savior. But if they reject God, and listen, it will break my heart and I will cry. But they will all stand, all of humanity will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and bend a knee and confessing, but confessing, because it will be the truth and they'll see the truth, we'll call him Lord and King. Amen. Not for salvation, but they will do it because it will be the truth, and the truth will be what rules the day. Even in those who've rejected God. Now, that's the truth for the unbeliever. But for the believer, he says, be careful that the light that you're walking by is not darkness. The rules that you are living by are coming from the only source of light, the Word of God. And allow it to be functioning. And if there's a problem with it, take it to the one who can fix it. Take it to the Lord and say, God, listen, I don't have your love in me all the time like you want it to be in there. And Lord, you must do that work. Because you know what? Listen, I want to glorify the one who died for me and gave me eternal life. That ought to be the first reason. Because he's worthy. My God is worthy. Because he made the greatest sacrifice for me. I don't understand that. Listen, I couldn't give up one of my kids for one of my best friends. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't even think about doing it for an enemy. And God did that for me? I can truly say, like the psalmist of Israel, who am I, God? Who am I that you've given me your mercy? Do you see the difference? And the crazy thing is people get all riled up and mad. They vehemently were asking him questions, trying to get him in trapped. And you can't trap the truth. The truth just sheds more light. And God wants that light in us. Whose light? His. And that light is equated with the love of God. That's how we'll see it. So if we don't see the love of God, listen, loving those that don't deserve it will point them to Jesus with the love of God. And God wants us to love our family first, our church family, and the whole world. And so the Lord gives us warning. Be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness. And if it is, we have a Redeemer in glory, amen, who hears us because of his grace and wants to answer our prayers. He says this, call unto me and I will answer thee. He didn't say I might answer thee. He said I will. Didn't he not say seek and ye shall? Call unto me and I'll answer thee and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you want to see the love of God in a great and mighty way in you? Ask him. Ask him. And if you have doubts, oh God, I'm asking you by faith, and I'm asking you also to help my unbelief. Watch what God will do. And God will send forth his light into our life, to our family, church, and our city, and the whole world. If we'll have it. He's not changed. Has God changed? The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So isn't it wonderful? Listen, the invitation is the Lord's, the choice is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your love and your truth. I pray, Lord, that we would be yielded to it and that we would not work or walk in the conceits of our own heart, but that we would look to the truth, to you, and ask you to lead us in the way and to empower us in the way, that you might truly be lifted up in our lives and our families and our church family, and the world would be drawn to you. Bless the invitation. May we realize you're calling on us to follow you as believers, and to those who may not know you, you're calling on them to trust you, that they might also experience and receive eternal life and know you and the purpose of life in a great and mighty way. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.